Second Chronicles chapter 5, and you just pray real hard tonight that the Lord would help me and help us as a church. I preached last Wednesday night, tried to. The Lord laid a message on my heart, and I had not planned to do this, but God gave me a message that I preached Tuesday morning down at Willow Valley, and I'd never preached it before, but I want to try to preach it tonight. I thought I might get to preach this some Sunday morning here at Mount Lebanon, but it's the Wednesday night and the Sunday night crowd that's going to get the greatest blessing out of it anyway. And so you just pray that God would speak to our hearts tonight. That's my prayer. But this is a message I preached the other morning, and I think I counted up. I think 7 of you have already heard it, so you just pray. Brother Bill and Sister Sharon was down there, and Brother Stephen and my family, and Dad and Lynette, so they've already heard it, so y'all just pray that God would speak to everybody else's heart and your heart again too. But I want to read just a few verses tonight, and I really pray that the Lord will use this to help us as a church to sort of, you know, we pray about revival, preach about revival. Brother Derek Wilson asked me the other night, he said, have we had revival at Mount Lebanon yet this spring? And I said, no, we had a meeting and we're waiting on revival. You know, there's a difference. There's a difference. We have meetings most of the time, and we have a Bible conference. There's a lot of things we could call it, but we're waiting on revival. And so I was talking to Brother Leonard the other night. He preached on revival, and I told him how much I appreciated it, that you hardly ever heard preachers preaching on revival anymore. And how can we expect for God's people to even expect revival or know what to look for if preachers don't preach on revival? And so it's something that's been on my heart a whole lot here lately, and so I want to preach this message tonight. We'll read a few verses, and I'll get right into the message this evening. 2 Chronicles chapter number 5 and verses 13 and 14. The Bible said it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Now, look over in chapter number 7. And we'll read verses 1 through 3. Chapter number 7 and verse number 1. The Bible said, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And so this is one of those things in the Bible where you read, and when I read, I try to imagine how things were and how they are. And I think to myself, I wonder how would that have been if you'd have lived in that day and you'd have been a Jew and you'd have helped work on that temple, or maybe your parents or somebody in your family, and they're going to come and dedicate the house of God that Solomon had built, that David wanted to build, but God wouldn't let him because he was a man of war and he had shed blood. But now they've completed the temple and they're going to dedicate it. And as they get ready to dedicate it, the Bible says, read there again in chapter 7, verse 2, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And that's what I want to preach on tonight, and what I want us to look at tonight is just simply the glory, and look at what that is and what that means. And you know, can anything like that even happen in our day and time? Should we look for and pray for and expect the glory of God to come into our midst and just overpower and influence us, even though we're thousands of years removed from this? And so I began to study about glory and what it says. And you know, as far as I know, I had never really looked up the word glory and what it means or studied it out very much, although I have preached messages in years gone by about glory and the glory of God and things like that. But I looked it up again, and I was surprised at what I found when I began to study really what glory was. And you know, I like to find the first place in the Bible things are mentioned. And so that's what I did. I looked it up. I found the first place that it's mentioned in the Bible, and it's mentioned in Genesis chapter number 31. But just to give you some background before I read the verse, in Genesis chapter number 30, it tells over there how Jacob had increased in the house of Laban. You remember, he went down there. That was his in his family, and he got married down there, and he spent all those years down there. And while he was there, you know, Laban changed his wages 7 times and was always trying to get the upper hand on Jacob. But you know, Jacob, he was a little bit of a horse trader himself, you might say, and ended up, God blessed him, and the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 30 that he exceeded and that he increased abundantly in all that he had. All of his servants, all of his maid servants, all of his men servants, all of his children, all of his, the Bible says over there, his asses and his camels and everything that he had, talking about. And so in chapter number 31, Laban's sons are talking about Jacob. And it said in chapter 31, in verse number 1, and he heard the words of Laban's sons. That would have been his brother-in-laws, wouldn't it? He heard his brother-in-laws talking about him. Laban's sons, he was a son-in-law, and Laban's sons, they was talking, and he overheard them talking. He heard the words of Laban's sons saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. All this glory. They were referring to everything that Jacob had accumulated unto himself. All of his riches, all of his wealth, all of his possessions, everything that he owned, everything that he had increased in. They said, that was our father's, hath he gotten all this glory. All of his possessions and all that he owned, that was his glory. And I thought, well, that's interesting. That's not what I would have thought that the word glory was referring to. So I looked at the next time that it's mentioned in the Bible, and I found that the second time is like the first time. Now, the second time it's mentioned in the Bible, Joseph sends his father, Jacob, to bring him into Egypt. You know, there was a famine where Jacob was. And Joseph revealed himself to his brethren, and he said to him, he said, now, go bring my father to Egypt. They were just barely getting by, struggling up there. And Joseph is down there in Egypt, and I mean, he's got control of everything. He's second in authority only to Pharaoh, and he's rich, he's increased, he's got all kinds of authority. And if you went all throughout the land of Egypt, you'd have seen the handprint of Joseph. Joseph's over that. Joseph built that. You see all those storehouses over there with all that grain and all that corn. Joseph got all that. You see all those fields out there and all those people out there working in those fields. Joseph's over that. Joseph's over all the land of Egypt. And so Joseph said, you go get daddy and you bring him down here to me.
The Bible said in verse number 26 of Genesis chapter 45, or chapter number 45 and verse number 13, Joseph said, "And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt." Everything I've got down here. Go tell Dad how things, how the tables have turned and how much God's blessed me. There's enough for all of us. Go get Daddy and bring him home. Go get my father and bring him home. And the whole kingdom was under the hand of Joseph. He said, "Tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, all my possessions, everything I got." And the Bible said in Genesis 45 and 26, "And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not." It'd been hard. When they went and told Jacob that Joseph was yet alive, he didn't believe him. His heart fainted, for he believed them not. He had believed all those years that Joseph was dead. And now here they come saying Joseph is alive. And not only is he alive, he's a ruler down in Egypt. And all that glory belongs to him. That'd have been hard to believe. It'd been hard to believe that just on word. The Bible goes on down and says in verse 27, "And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived." When he saw the wagons, he got revival in his heart. You know what Joseph did to make sure that Jacob believed all the words that they had to say? He sent some of his glory back with them. When he saw them wagons, that was part of his glory. That wasn't no cowboy western wagon, rickety, squeaking along the trail to bring Daddy home. I'm telling you, if he'd have looked real close, them wagons said Bentley on the side. Them's the best made wagons in all of Egypt. They was pulled by the prettiest horses. They's no doubt in my mind, groomed and all decked out. And when Joseph saw the wagons, he believed the message. Joseph sent enough glory. Do you know what? God's got enough glory to give us revival. God's got enough glory to get us home to be with Him. You know that? The Bible said when he saw the wagons, then the spirit of Jacob revived in his heart. And so glory is everything that you have. Everything that's yours. Everything that is under your control, that is your glory. Now the Bible says about God's glory, Psalms 19 and 1, it said, "The heavens declare the glory of God." The heavens declare the glory of God. "And the firmament showeth His handiwork." Everything out there. I'm telling you, NASA has spent billions and billions to explore space and find out if there's any little green men out there, anything like that. And you know what? All they find, they've not found it all. With all their Hubble telescopes and all their satellites going out into space to look farther and find more planets and find more galaxies and find more stars and all they've ever found is that they've not found it all, and they never will. That's the glory of God. All of that. And the firmament. That's the expanse of the sky out there. We left church the other night and we was headed home, and there's a lightning storm going on. One of them had just light up the sky. Light up the sky. Hollywood can't imitate anything like that. The show that God can put on in the earth and the green. And the Bible goes on in Psalms 19, and it talks about their voice runs to and fro throughout all the earth. There's nowhere that the glory of God is not heard or seen. All of that is the glory of God. And God put His glory in a building. That's what we read here in chapter 7 in verse number 2. Now you imagine that. The heavens declare the glory of God. But God put Himself into that new temple. That's what the Bible says. "And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house." God put His glory in that house. Imagine that. All that he is, all that, everything about him, God put his glory. He filled that building up with his glory. I want to just share with you tonight three things about the glory of God, and I'll be done. Number one tonight, the glory of God is an interruption. Now, you'll notice here, if we had time to look through all these chapters and read them, and I did go back and read about the dedication of the temple and everything, and you'll notice that they pretty much had everything that we've got. They had in chapter 5, verse 13, they had a song service. That's what it was. The Bible said in chapter 5, verse 13, it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they'd lifted up their voice, and so they had a song service, they had a singing, and when they dedicated the temple, they had a song service. Boy, I'd like to have heard that. And then in chapter number 6, if you've got a Scofield Bible, your title up at the top, it says, The Sermon of Solomon. Now, Solomon wasn't a preacher, but Solomon had some preach in him. Amen. He gave him a sermon. He said, basically, here's what God's done for us. Here's what we ought to do for God. And he gave him a good message. Boy, I wish we had a leader that knew how to preach a message, don't you? They had a song service. They had a sermon. You look over in chapter 6 and around verse number 11 and 12, right around in there, it's Solomon's prayer of dedication where he prayed. And you'll read on down verse 19. Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee. You read on down. He prayed, he prayed, he prayed. They had singing. They had sermonizing, they had supplicating, they had everything that we have, and they went through all of those motions, and you know, that's sort of how we are sometimes. We come to church, and we sing, and we pray, and we preach, and we do that, and over and over and over again. And God bless your heart, you know, I know how it is. Sometimes you come in tired, wore out, come in Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and you're tired and worked all day, and we come, but we know that's what we need to do, and so we come to the house of God, and we sing, and we pray, and we preach, and we go home, and we come in when we're tired, and we come in when we're tried, and have trials, and don't feel like coming to church, and I'll be honest tonight, sometimes I come sort of aggravated. You ever come sort of aggravated? I sang another day, trying to get my family to get together to come to church. That's a major undertaking in and of itself. We've got everywhere from grown adults in our house all the way down to little children, and trying to coordinate everybody and everything. And you know, sometimes Sunday morning is the hardest time to try to get in a good spirit to come to the house of God, and the devil do everything to get you to where you can't worship God. But we come on anyway. We come on anyway, and we're tired, and we're tried, and sad, and mad, and grapping, and grumpy, and all of these things, and so that's how we do. I said the other day, it's sometimes it's like trying to eat a box of saltine crackers and don't even have nothing to drink with it. We just try our best, you know. We just go through, and I'll tell you, I've got up and tried to preach sometimes, and probably I'd have done better if I just sat down. I wasn't making no headway or getting anywhere. And I'll tell you, the Lord's work is work. It is work. I was singing this afternoon. I wonder, I'll bet you we could mathematically figure out how many songs Brother Dale leads every year. And I got thinking about that. I thought if we sung 15 songs a week, we had 4 weeks in a year, and we had 4 weeks in a month and 12 months, and I figured up it wouldn't take long till a church, till a song leader had led thousands and thousands and thousands of songs. Glory don't fall every time you lead the singing, does it, Brother Dale? Glory doesn't come every time you get up and try to preach the Word of God. But I'll tell you tonight, sometimes aren't you glad that every once in a while, hey, the glory comes down. The glory comes. Well, when the glory comes, boy, you talk about what a difference that it makes. Sometimes we come to church, we go home. How was it? It was good. How was singing? It was good. How's revival? It was good. How's the preaching? It was good. How's Sunday school and on? But I'll tell you, we need more times. We need times where we go away and all we can say is that it was glory. It was better than good. It was glory. God came into the midst. God showed up. God put Himself in the service. And it was glory. It was glory. It's like that sometimes. Now they had everything planned out. You know, we don't have a program. And that don't make us more spiritual than people that do, because we don't need a program because we have ours memorized. Yeah, we know what to do. We don't have to write it down on a piece of paper because we do the same thing all the time. That's how we are. We throw off on people who have programs, but you know what? If we're not careful, just by sheer habit, we will program the Holy Spirit of God right out of our services, and they had it all planned out. And I can just imagine as they got together and they said, now, this is important. This is big. We're dedicating the temple to God, and this is so good and so holy and so right that the Lord wouldn't even allow King David to build it. And we know what a great man King David was. But God allowed Solomon to build the temple. And I can imagine Solomon and the leader of the singing and the people that built the Bible says there was a scaffold that he stood up on and prayed and spoke to the people. And so I'm sure that they all had a little piece of paper like we do at a funeral sometimes. Order a service. Say, all right, singers, you're going to sing. When you get done with number 480, then I'm going to ascend into the up into the presence of the people, and I'm going to give a message to them, and then I'm going to have the prayer dedication, and that's how it is. You know, we got it all planned out sometimes, but they didn't plan on that glory showing up. And that's how it is when the glory shows up. That's not something I can bring. Some people think the preacher can bring the Spirit of God and the glory of God or the Son if you had enough singing. But you know as well as I do, you know how it is sometimes? You can go to church and it's so sweet and it's so good and you think you're walking on clouds. It's so good. And you come back the next service and you think, this ain't the same people. This ain't the same church. What's happened? We're dead and dry, and there ain't no good Spirit of God here. I mean, I'm telling you, when the glory comes, it's the goodness of God. He's the one that does it. You ever been sitting there in church and somebody else is just getting their socks blessed off, and you're not getting a thing out of it, and you think to yourself, I'd like to wonder why they're, and you know, the glory of God. They didn't plan on the glory of God showing up, but the glory of God came. And I'm glad when the glory of God comes. Look in chapter 5 and verse number 14. Let me show you something, what happens when the glory of God comes. It said in chapter 5, verse 14, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Now, they had a work to do. They had sacrifices to make. That's what that word minister means. They had work to do on that day. But you know what? When the glory comes, it takes all the work out of it. Takes all the work out of it. I mean, the work of God becomes fun. It becomes a joy. It becomes, I'd rather be there and do that than anything else in the whole wide world if the glory of God would just be there. Boy, it takes the work out of the Lord's work. There's a lot of work in the Lord's work, but when the glory of God comes, they couldn't even stand up to do the work. They just had to stand back and let God be God. Boy, I like it when it's like that. I like it when somebody comes to be saved, when the glory of God has been in the midst, and when somebody comes, when the glory has been in the house, then you don't have to read them 117 verses and try to convince them that God's able to save them. They know God's able to save them. Glory takes the work out of it. The glory takes the work out of the singing. And the glory, you know how it is to sing in the Spirit and then try to sing and don't sound like it sounds good, and it's hard, and everything's not like, hey, the glory takes the work out of it. And the glory interrupts the program. I'm all for preaching. But if the big preacher wants to come and interrupt the program, I'm all for that more. Because he can get the work done. The glory is an interruption. Second of all, the glory is an intervention. When the glory comes, it's an intervention. Now, this word intervention is a word that I've heard more in the past few years than probably before that. This is a word that people use now to explain what they do when somebody they love dearly, their life is all messed up. Maybe they're on drugs. Maybe they're on alcohol. They've tried to get them some help. And maybe they've been through different things and tried to go here, but they're just going to run. They're going to kill themselves. And so friends and family will get together and they plan what they call an intervention. What they'll do, they'll trap that person. They'll get it all planned out. They're going to abduct them. They're going to invite them somewhere, and what they'll do, they'll haul them off somewhere to get some help. And they call that an intervention. They say, we love them so much, we hate to do it, but if we don't do something, they're going to kill themselves. And so they'll intervene. But the glory is an intervention. Now, I read over in John chapter number 11, and I'll make the... I know you'll know what I'm talking about tonight, but in John chapter number 11, the Lord Jesus over there, Martha, Mary, Lazarus, you know how the story goes. The Lord Jesus had been in their house many times before. He was friends with them. He had stayed there, and he received word that Lazarus was sick. But he didn't come where they was. 4 days later, he came where Lazarus was, and Mary and Martha meets him out there, and they say, Lord, if thou'dst been here, our brother had not died. He wouldn't have died if you'd have been here, but now he's been dead 4 days already. And the word of God goes down, and it says that the Lord Jesus says, where is he at? Where's Lazarus at? And they took him out to where the grave was, and Jesus said, roll away the stone, take away the stone. And Mary, I believe it was, she said, Lord, by now he stinketh. Lazarus is sort of like a lot of people think about the church. Cold, dead, already buried, stinky and smelly, no hope for revival. Church ain't never going to amount to nothing. Ain't going to be no glory days no more. Sort of like Lazarus there laying in the tomb, the stink already set in on him. But Jesus said in John 11:30, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God. Jesus came to intervene. He came to perform an intervention on Lazarus' behalf, and he did that, and Lazarus came forth. And the Bible said, he that was dead came forth. Well, when the glory comes, the dead can get up, and the dead can get unloosed. That's what happened to Lazarus over there. You know, our churches, our young people, they don't need rock music in the church and puppet ministry, and they don't need all these new things that are being offered. And one youth so-called pastor told me, he said, on there they had a big youth group on Sunday nights. Video games, ping pong tables, they had big screen TVs and Xbox and all of that stuff. And he's the same fellow that told me, he said, now I'll be honest, I'm the youth pastor, but I just don't know much about the Word of God. He said, I'd never want to use the Bible as a weapon. I said, you don't know much. I thought. What about the Bible being the sword of the Spirit? What about the Bible being a hammer and being a rock? But young people don't need that. What we need is an intervention from heaven in our midst.
Our churches don't need more programs. We need a heavenly intervention from heaven. Our nation doesn't need a new president. I mean, we do need a new president, but what they've got picked out sure ain't going to be much better. That ain't going to save our country. Our country needs an intervention. We need God to intervene. And God is still in the intervening business, and I'm glad for that. He's able to make a difference when the only thing the world can say is it's dead and stinks. God can come along and say, I've got something to say about that. Lazarus, come forth! And he did. He intervened. The Bible said in chapter 7 in verse 1, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. That little word filled, that's what I want to look at a minute. And the Bible said the same thing in verse 2. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. He filled the house. They couldn't even stand to minister. You know, how do you know when something's filled? The glory of the Lord filled the house, the Bible says. Kim bought Chloe a little plastic basketball goal. And we've got it out on the deck, and the wind kept blowing it over. And I thought to myself, I'm getting tired of picking that thing up because the rim would break off and blew it across the deck. And I got to looking at it, and it had a base, a plastic base, and it had a hole in the top of it. And I thought to myself, that's to put something in it to keep it from blowing over. Whoever made that's pretty smart. And so I thought to myself, I'll fill it full of water. And so I got a funnel, and I got two buckets of water and took them out there, and I put that funnel down in that hole, and I noticed that beside the big hole, there was two little holes. And that's a vent hole like a gas can has. If you put water in, there's nowhere for the air to escape. You know, that won't work too good. So I started pouring that water in that thing, and I could hear that. I could hear the air coming up, shh, on both sides. And I'd pour that funnel full, and I'd see it spin around there, and the water was going in, and I kept pouring the water in. And soon I heard it go, and the water began to spew out of both of them holes about that high, a little old funnel and a bucket of water. And I stood there and I thought, that impresses me. I didn't think there's enough pressure to do that. But that water spewed up out of that base, out of both of them holes. And when that happened, I knew that base was filled up. Couldn't take no more. You know, that's the kind of feeling that we need in the house of God. We need to get so full and so filled of the glory of God that it spews out of the church into the community and into the schools and into the courthouse. See, that's what has happened to us in the past. We've lost our salt and our influence. And that's why our nation's in a mess. Because we've relied on programs and going through the motions without the power and the Spirit and the glory of God. And that's why our nation is in a mess. You say, preacher, I don't know that much can be done. Jesus said to Martha, he said, if thou wouldst believe, you'd see the glory of God. If you just believe, I really believe. That is, it is entirely within the power and the authority of God Almighty that if He has opened the door for our missionaries to go in the school, that the Holy Ghost of God will go in there with them. And it just wouldn't surprise me if one day the Holy Ghost didn't show up and the glory of God show up and just interrupt all the program and get a hold of hearts and save souls. It's happened in the past. That has happened. That has literally happened in the past. How many seen that movie, Facing the Giants? It's about that Christian school, and they had a football team, and of course they stunk, and then they got good and won. But I like that movie. That's one movie I like. I can't watch it without crying because it blesses my heart. And the part that blesses my heart
There's a scene in that movie where there's an old man that goes down to there to that school every day. And he walks down the hall and he touches the lockers of the students. And all he does is praise for. And all he does is praise for. And it shows that man, he is a voice for God in that school. And he walks down. I'm telling you, they didn't dream that up. That's happened before. They got that out of a real life example. That old man of God went to school and prayed for them youngins. And there come a day where the Holy Ghost of God come and dealt with hearts and saved souls. And they had to call school off because they was having revival. That's happened before. They didn't just say that'd be good. That'd be a good scene to put in a movie. They got that. That has happened in life. It's happened in life. If the glory would fill the house like we read in the Word of God, and it would be filled to the point that it would go out into the community, there's no telling what God might work in somebody's life and save somebody and straighten them out to the point of somebody who, like I said a year ago, I'd have thought never would darken the doors, but now come to the house of God 2 mornings in a row. Didn't have to beg or twist no arm. God's able. God's able. It's an intervention. We need an intervention in our country. And then last of all, and I'll stop with this, it's an inspiration. The glory is an inspiration. You remember in Exodus chapter number 32 where Moses was up on the mountain with God, and God said, Moses, you'd better go down. You better go down there. I'm going to kill them all. That's what God taught. Read it when you get home. While Moses was up, while their spiritual leader, while their pastor was up on the mountain with God, the children of Israel had gotten down there and made a golden calf. And were worshiping it. And God told Moses, you better get down there. And God told Moses, I'm going to kill them all. I'll start over with you. And Moses interceded on behalf of the children of Israel. You probably remember that. And Moses made the case to God. He said, Lord, how's it going to look to the heathen if you destroy all your people after the great deliverance? And so God said, all right, Moses. He said, I won't destroy him. He said, you go on up to the land, talking about the Canaan land. But he said, God said, I'm not going to go with you. I'll send an angel with you. And Moses again interceded on behalf of the children of Israel. And Moses said, oh God, if you don't go up with us, I don't want to go. I don't want to just go with an angel. I want you to go with us. It's hard work interceding for people that want to ruin and wreck their lives and throw away their lives. But that's what the man of God did. He prayed and interceded on behalf. And he said, God said, all right, I'll go up with you. And then over there in chapter number 33 in the Word of God, it's down around verse number 18, I believe it is, while Moses has got the ear of God, he said, Lord, I'm going to ask you something else. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. You remember what happened over there? God did. God stood him on a rock, put him in the cliff of the rock. He said, Moses, nobody can see me and live, but I will put my hand over you and I'll pass by. And when I get almost all the way by, I'll let you see my hinder parts because nobody can see me and live. Do you think when Moses got done, he sung the old song, press on, weep children, pilgrim, however that goes. I believe I'll press on. I believe I'll go on. The glory of God is an inspiration. The word inspiration means a breath. It's the same as the word Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God. Brother John Green preached on that and showed us a few weeks ago. And so it reminds me of the Holy Ghost of God coming on the church in Acts chapter number 2. It said that there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And the Spirit filled the house that they were in. That's what it says. Same language as we find over here in 2 Chronicles chapter number 2. I found 9 verses in the Bible that have the word glory and the word Spirit in them.
There's 9 verses in the Bible that have the word glory and the word spirit. The glory of God for us is when the Spirit of God comes into our midst. That's the glory of God. That's God putting Himself into our midst and manifesting Himself. And I'll give you these three verses of those 9, and just 3 quick things, and I'll be done. The first time you find the word glory and spirit in the same verse in the Bible is Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. They'll fear him from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit, capital S, of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Do you know the enemy's coming in like a flood? And I'd say, first of all, there's glory for the fight. We're in a fight. This marriage amendment thing, that ought to cause people to see what a fight that we're in. There's people that hates God and hates the very idea of standing up for anything God stands up for, like marriage. Brother T.J. Wilson, God told him to go out and stand by the road and hold up a sign. It's the past few days. Brother T.J.'s been out, he's a pastor now down here at Baird's Creek. He's been out beside on 321. And Sister Debbie, that's his sister, cut my hair today. She said the first day that he stood out there, said people drove by, cussed at him, shot him the bird. Said 2 men stopped in front of him and kissed right there in front of him. One fella got out and argued with him there beside the road. I got to think about that. That sign, that's a banner. Bible says, and said Brother TJ just waved at him, went on. The Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a banner against them. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a banner. Every time I see one of them signs, I say, praise God. I like that. I went through Boone Monday. As I was coming back by the courthouse, there was a lady standing out there on the sidewalk beside the courthouse. Now, somebody that works in the courthouse come to me last week and they said, Brother Wynn, said you wouldn't believe that against crowd. They're out there every day talking to people, trying to confuse people, trying to get people messed up. She said older people are coming in and they're confusing them and they're laughing about it. And when they come in, they look around at each other and go, got that one. She said, somebody's got to do something. Preachers can't do everything. She said, somebody's got to do something. So I remembered that when I went by the courthouse and there was a lady standing out there. She had an umbrella and she had a sign, vote for marriage. And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, go down there and encourage her. And I said, Lord, you get me a parking place and I will. And I pulled into the courthouse, parked, walked down the street. She had her back to me like this. And I'm walking down the street. She's standing there. She's probably in her early 60s. I walked around in front of her like this. And I had on my street clothes and a hat and sunglasses. And I said, hello, how are you? And she backed up like that. And she said, are you going to kill me or something? And she was serious. She was scared to death. Scared to death standing out there on the street. I said, no, ma'am. I said, I'm not going to scare you. I said, I wanted to come and encourage you. I wanted to come and tell you how much I appreciate you standing out here. And I'm telling you, there's a door open from another world. And she began to cry, and I began to cry. And the glory of God come onto that sidewalk. We just stood there. She said, I didn't come out to do this today. She said, I just come to vote. She said, and I thought when I left and there wasn't nobody out here and they were all out here against. And she said, nobody's doing nothing. And she said, I had this sign in my car and called my husband.
said, I'm just going to stand here on the street. I said, bless your heart. I said, if everybody would do what they're supposed to do, our nation wouldn't be in the mess that it's in. Boy, we just had a little revival right there. She said, you wouldn't believe what they're saying. She said, you wouldn't believe what I'm hearing. She said, they think we hate them. And they was cussing her and all that stuff. But I'll tell you, we're not in this fight by ourselves. There's a God in heaven that's bigger, that's greater, and God, if God wanted to, God could change and send His glory and send revival. God's able. God's a big God. That's what the Bible says. They'll fear Him from the east, from His glory, from the rising of the sun, when the enemy comes up in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a banner against them. And there's another one, Ezekiel 43 and 5. There's glory for the feeling. I'm not going to go through all these tonight. There's glory for the feeling. Can God do that? You bet He can. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. He filled the house in Acts chapter number 2. There's glory for the future, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Say, preacher, how do you know God can do all that? You're not 150 or 200 years old. You wasn't around in 1857 and 1859 where God saved 1 million people in America in just a few months, and there was the second great awakening that saved our nation in the late 1800s. You wasn't around then. How do you know God can do that? Because I see through a glass darkly. I've seen enough to know that God's able. I've seen enough glory. I felt enough glory down there. God's a big God. He's awful big God. He's so big. God's done that before. Why couldn't God do it again? God can do what God wants to do. And I've seen some things through a glass dark. I've seen some stones that's been brought out of the Jordan and set up on the shore for a memorial. You remember that story, don't you? And they said, why'd you tell them to bring them stones out of the Jordan? And he said, when your children ask you how to get there, you tell them, you say, one day, see that big old river? God. Open that whole thing wide open. 40,000 plus soldiers and all their families and people walked across on dry land. God said, get 12 stones and stack them up on this side now. And when your children ask, you tell them God's big enough to part that river. And we walked over on dry land. Boy, God's a big God. He's left us some stones on this side of the river. I just believe God. I just believe God. If I die on my trip, somebody preach my funeral and say, Preacher Wynn believed in revival and he believed in doing what's right. It doesn't matter if it bothers everybody. And that'd be all right with me. And then, last of all, I know I've said that 3 times, but I really mean it this time. When the glory really comes, it inspires praise and worship. You don't have to have a band or a team to get it either. It said in chapter 7, verse 3, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And they just got into a thanking, praising God, broke up all the program. When the glory comes, God's people will praise Him. And they'll worship Him and they'll thank Him, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. I like it when we can come and just praise Him. He's worthy of all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. Ephesians chapter 3 says, unto Him be glory in the church. It ought to be glory. Well, to come looking for the glory of God to come and to manifest Himself in our midst. God's able. And so that's the message I wanted to share with you tonight. And I appreciate your good attention.